Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie today, and we still will go around the NFL here on In the Loop. Appreciate you hanging with us. You can always text the show, 713-572-4610, here in the afterglow of that great, dominant Texans victory yesterday. But what a wild day it was throughout the NFL. Maybe highlighted by this text from Ocho saying, my overreaction of the day is Baker Mayfield is without a doubt the greatest quarterback of all time. And I'm really pulling for him. If you don't like Baker, you're not a good person, he says.
I just seen on the screen saying Baker is my MVP of the year. I'm like, damn, we here.
What's the case against?
I know. I think he is. Not only because of how well he's playing, but he's every week. It's this two-minute drill, comeback victory in the fourth quarter, and he did it again yesterday in Seattle against the Seahawks in a showdown. Whoever thought that in 2025, one of the better games so far this year would be a showdown between Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold, but that's what we had, and the Buccaneers found a way to tie it up and then get the winning field goal at the end as well. And just Baker, he's hard to keep down, as Texans fans know.
He's got that swag that is just so cool, too. This was wild. That was just the tip of the iceberg on a very wild Sunday. But the Bucks, I mean, we have firsthand knowledge of what Baker Mayfield can do. You know, we were talking earlier about the best team in the AFC might be the Indianapolis Colts. Hell, who's the best team in the NFC?
I know, it's another fair question. I mean, a lot of people probably would point to the Eagles despite yesterday, but the Eagles have been so odd that they have not looked good. They have found ways to win without looking good. Yesterday, they gave Saquon Barkley 6 handoffs. I don't know why. They had the lead for almost the entire game and weren't giving their best player the football. 2 weeks ago, they won without any passing yards in the second half. They're just a weird team. And the Bucks, I would like to say, are the best team in the NFC, but then you wonder, like, can they keep doing this? Every week it's a comeback victory. Eventually, that shoe needs to drop.
I still think it's the Lions. But, you know, they started out with a whimper, but they keep winning. They're 4-1. Lions are in there. Eagles are still in there despite it all, like you just said. But the Broncos, 18 straight points, 18 unanswered points.
Yeah.
I mean, it was a crazy day. It was a crazy day all around.
Yeah, it sure was. The Broncos, the record was something like 1-114 when trailing by 14 points or more in the fourth quarter, and yet they got win number 2 yesterday. So yeah, it was crazy. As we tried to summarize yesterday's day in the NFL as best as we can.
One more thing on the Bucks.
Yep.
They still don't have Mike Evans.
Yeah, right.
You know, so he's still not available for them to, you know, if you're projecting forward, they still do have one of the best rookies in the class. Let's ask Rob Gronkowski.
Baker Mayfield also did it without his number one wide receiver, Mike Evans. And you got to give credit to this rookie sensation wide receiver out of Ohio State, Emeka Egbigbu, going for over 100 yards. Emeka Egbuka. I'm getting confused.
There you
going
go.
Lights out once again.
Getting confused.
Egbigbu. Well, they'll learn his name, that's for sure. And it's not the easiest to pronounce.
Who's Egbigbu? Who am I missing? Egbigbu.
Egbigbu. So you believing in Drake May now?
Yes. Yeah. I liked Drake May to begin with. And look, I already patted ourselves on the back earlier today, but that same show that I was in with you over the summer, I picked the Patriots to make the playoffs this year because there's a trend where the team in the AFC that has the easiest schedule has made the playoffs something like 10 straight years, and the Patriots entered this season with the easiest schedule on paper, plus I like Mike Vrabel. So I've bought into this Patriots team. I like Drake May. That was a huge win last night for them, obviously. I'm a big fan. By the way, quick sidebar. I think it is so petty. According to sources, as you see, mm-hmm. Bill Belichick told UNC.
That's so crazy. Yeah, go ahead.
People are wondering, how come UNC's Twitter accounts have not acknowledged Drake May at all this year? He's playing good football. They just beat the Bills last night. You should be proud of one of your former players. And according to sources, the story this morning from those who cover UNC is that Belichick told the school, do not put any pro-Patriot stuff on our social media.
That is so, it checks out.
So lame.
He need to go into the petty cast that Sean and Seth be doing every week.
Well, the other thing
that
is
petty.
That is a great recruiting tool.
It's true. Right.
It's a great recruit. Look at Drake May. Look what we can do at North Carolina, even though that was But he's with the Patriots. Now, apparently this morning they did tweet something. There was some sort of, damage control. But the report, they still stand by it that, this was petty, and it's so believable.
That kind of adds up, because remember earlier, I think it was rumors that he was stopping the Patriot scouts.
Yeah, yeah.
From coming there.
That they couldn't visit in person to scout players.
Yeah, I've always tried to defend Bill Belichick through his entire career, even post-Brady, but this time in UNC has been so odd. It's hard to defend, and this is really
corny. He is clearly with them because he want to make his ex-girlfriend jealous.
Yeah, oh,
like,
for sure.
Do he actually want to be in UNC?
No, he just wanted a coach, and they offered him the money and control, and he could have his girlfriend there.
Yeah, right.
So for all that stuff.
And I know this is around the NFL, but the last thing on Belichick, UNC is 0-3 against Power 4 conference teams this year, and they've lost by like 25 plus in all three, so they are not even competitive.
No, not even close. So where else around the NFL, because we talked about the Colts, how familiar were you with Jacory Kroski-Merritt from the Commanders?
Very familiar. He was one of my sleepers for fantasy football. I did not get him, but I just he became a story this summer because he wants to be called Bob, and everyone, just because of this name, or Bill, right? He wants to be called Bill, I think it is. So everyone just was like, who's this guy in Washington? It's not Bill Crosby. It's Bill Kroski. Anyways, he's fun.
Yeah, he came out of nowhere. Fantasy owners everywhere are chomping at the bit. Most of them had him on their bench, though. Well, maybe not because of the injuries and stuff. Maybe not yesterday, but that was something. Mike McDaniel?
I've just been waiting. I don't want to root for someone to lose their job, but after each week, I have one of my best friends is a Dolphins fan, and I text him like, is this the way? How do you keep doing this? Mm-hmm. And you blow a 17-point lead to the Panthers of all teams, and you're 1-4 now? Mm-hmm. I was originally a Mike McDaniel guy when they hired him. I loved that he was different. He was quirky. Then I thought he got a little too much into himself and a little too arrogant for not winning enough. And now, if you're a Dolphins fan, like, what do you have to hang your hat on? This team is bad. They've been bad the last 2 years. Two is not the answer either. Tyreek Hill's now out. That was embarrassing yesterday.
Most likely to be fired in season.
100%. I honestly, if I was the Dolphins, I probably would have done it after yesterday's game. Maybe today.
Yeah. Maybe, and because he's completely lost the team, absolutely lost the team. Now, Aaron Glenn is one that I'm just perplexed about. I believe in Aaron Glenn. Now, maybe just the job is cursed, but the Jets just awful. Well, obviously, big loss against the Cowboys yesterday.
Yeah, that's just a tough
even the job. Saints won.
I know it.
Even the Saints won.
yeah, that's embarrassing for the Giants too. I mean, New York football is just a mess right now. They were all excited about Jackson Dart. But rookie quarterbacks who have to go on the road in their second start are something like 12-34 all time. And so even though it's the Saints, it was a bit of a tough spot going on the road yesterday for Dart. And, the Giants played poorly.
And then there's the Mark Sanchez thing.
Oh, my gosh. This is the strangest. When I first got the news, I got the breaking news on my phone. Mark Sanchez was stabbed. I was like, oh, my gosh, someone attacked Mark Sanchez in Indianapolis?
Mm-hmm.
Then you get the real story of what transpired, and it is so absurd. And we have to wait for more details, of course. But if you're unfamiliar, Sanchez, the news broke like late Friday night, Saturday morning. It was at 12:30 Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And initially, we hear he gets stabbed. And then long story short, some delivery truck driver was just trying to do his job in the alleyway of a hotel, transport like cooking oil. And Mark got upset because he was parked where he supposedly wasn't supposed to be. And he attacked the guy. And the guy had to defend himself with a knife on Sanchez. But man.
69-year-old dude.
Yeah.
69-year-old dude, we're going to have more. Now there's felony charges that reported in the last hour that are going to be coming potentially against Mark Sanchez. But we'll have more on this for sure.
Yes, because it is so odd. Hey, Texans get a huge win yesterday bashing the Ravens. We'll hear from the head coach, DeMeco Ryans, When we come back, it's In the Loop.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie today on In the Loop as we recap the great win yesterday from the Texans. And let's hear from the head coach himself. Here's D'Amico Ryan's press conference.
Being where they're supposed to be, and we still have things to clean up when it comes to protections and things that are happening that we have to get fixed, that we've talked about and worked multiple times that we still have to clean up. So it's not where it needs to be right now, but we're doing a really solid job up front. Titus playing really good up front as well. So we got some guys doing some good things. Just got to continue to rein it in and play collectively much better.
Chrissy?
D'Amico, I know you always talk to your team about taking things week by week and not looking past or looking forward, but how proud are you of your team that they heeded that message, put the first 3 weeks behind them, and were able to bounce back the way you guys have the last 2 weeks?
I'm really proud of our team because that's really the only thing that we can focus on. We can't really focus on, we can't go back and change what happened the first 3 weeks. We can learn from it, right? We can improve on the miscues that we've had, and we can be better because of the things that happened. And I think that's what our guys are doing a really good job of. And the main thing, Chris, is just us taking care of the football, right? That's been the biggest game changer for us these past 2 weeks. Like, we've had zero turnovers. We possess the ball. And the more we continue to do that in every game, that's always the goal. If we do that, we're going to have an opportunity to win the game.
Aaron?
Come on, Aaron.
Hey, good morning, D'Amico.
Morning.
When you look at the way some of the guys have performed, including some of the guys that maybe don't get a lot of attention, like a Blake Fisher or Tommy Tugiai, some of the linemen on both sides of the football, what are you seeing from some of your depth and some of their contributions? And we saw you use those guys a little more expanded role on Sunday. Thank you.
What you're seeing from young guys like Tommy, who steps in, and I always compliment Tommy because Tommy is a young guy who goes out and he just does it the way that we coach him to do every single time. And there's no surprise when he makes the plays that he makes in games. And there are huge plays that he makes. He played the run game really well yesterday. Also, just his awareness when it's screens and trap plays. Like, he's probably one of our best guys at playing those things because he's aware, instinctive, and does it the right way. Blake stepped in our jumbo package, and he handled that role very well. He handled the edge in a running game, gave us some lanes there to run the football. So he's done well with the small role that we've given him in the jumbo package, which, and I always look at it like this: when guys do well with the few things that they're given, then you can trust them with more things. So happy, you know, and pleased with our young guys for what they're doing.
Sarge.
Morning, Coach.
Good morning.
On last week, you talked about Kamari Lassiter a lot in the way that he practiced, and then he went out and he applied that in the game. But speaking with him post-game, he was happy for the win, but he focused on the things that he could have done better. Is that just something that not only that you've seen from him in his second year, but, you know, from some of the other players on the defensive side of the ball who has that same mindset?
Well, from that mindset. So I want our entire team thinking that way, how Kamari is thinking. It's not about getting overly excited about the big play or the win. It's focusing on, man, what about those plays you miss? Like, that's where you should harp on the most to me, because how can you get better and play a complete game as a player? That's what you're always seeking. And I understand nobody's going to be perfect, but, man, we're striving for perfection every single time that you're out there. And if you're a true pro, if it means a lot to you, like Kamari, like, every single play matters. Like, there is no, oh, it's okay, I let them get a play here or there. Like, you cannot have that mindset. And that's the mindset that Kamari has. That's why he's always straining, and he has that desire to continue to grow, continue to get better. And that allows him to be a really great, great pro for us.
Thank you.
Cody.
D'Amico, when it comes to the running backs, is this game plan dependent on which guy goes in? Is it flow of the game? How do you decide which running back is right for which situation after some of the success Woody had last week, and then how Chubb's kind of put some consistency together as well?
Yeah, we continue to work both guys in. Some of it is game plan oriented, where we have particular runs for certain guys, and some of it also, Cody, is just the flow of the game. Like, if a guy just breaks a long run or a guy is tired, like Coach Danny Barrett does a great job of rotating those guys. We have capable guys who can run the football, so we want to make sure they're as fresh as possible. And DB does a great job of rotating those guys in and getting them in on the plays that we've designed for them.
Jonathan?
Let me go with Christian Harris being inactive. Is that more of him – you know, he dealt with the injury. Is that more of him trying to get back to where he was, or is that more of EJ Speed and others playing really well at his position?
Yeah, for our inactives, it'll be different guys are inactive every week, as you guys see. It's just kind of flow for how that week is going and what we see is best for us to win the game that particular week. So it'll change every given week. So nothing against Christian.
Christy?
D'Amico, you guys didn't have any really high draft picks this year, but you've still managed to get like big contributions from your rookie class. How valuable is it to have these guys that aren't necessarily the top picks come in and contribute immediately for you?
It's very valuable having the rookies that we have contribute. It doesn't matter where you pick. Like, you may get one high pick, but how can you hit on guys throughout the draft? Like, when there is a deep draft class, how can you hit on those guys and have guys who can come in and contribute right away? That's always been the focus for us. Get guys, have an idea of what's the role for the guy, not just selecting guys to select them, but having a defined role. And how is that guy going to fit on your roster? What is going to be his place on your team, right? We always go into it with the mindset before we even select a guy, we have to understand his fit for our team, right? And I think we've done a good job of understanding the fit, the role for guys, and that allows them to come in, contribute very early.
Kim?
Hey, good morning, D'Amico. Can you talk a little bit about the you guys did some different things with the offensive line yesterday. I know you guys had Juicing and you guys used Blake Fisher quite a bit. Talk about bringing in those guys who were around last year, but we hadn't seen them as much this year, and how you guys were creative in using them yesterday.
For us, offensively, defensively, again, I always tell my coaches, like, we have to do whatever it takes that particular week to win the game. So as you saw, we had some different looks, or we went with more of a jumbo package on that week. Well, that's what we thought was best for us, right? Offensively, on the offensive line and for our defensive line, we went with heavier personnel because we thought that was the best thing for us. Our main goal this particular week was to dominate the run game, and we did that on the offensive side, ran the ball for over 150 yards, and then on the defensive side, the guys did a really great job of stopping the run. So that was our focus. That was our game plan for the week. And again, that changes based on our opponent and who we're playing. But for me, it's any week, whatever the week is, are we doing whatever is necessary for us to win? Doesn't matter what we've done before, who's been in before, who was inactive before. It really doesn't matter. It's like, what do we need that week to win the game?
Sam?
Good morning, D'Amico. Good morning. With With you all kind of building this momentum over the past 2 weeks, how do you go about approaching this bye week, you know, having this positive momentum and it being kind of early coming on in the season?
With the momentum piece, it's great to have, you know, back-to-back wins and continue to for our guys to work the right way and see those results, see it pay off, see their work pay off. But again, like we'll take our time this week. We'll let guys, you know, get away for a little bit and make sure they reset, refocus, get some rest, much needed rest. And we know we'll have a long haul ahead of us, but it's just about one game at a time, 1 week at a time, making sure we maximize our preparation to do what we need to do to be ready to go play our best in the games.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Aaron?
Hey, D'Amico, when you do have this extra time, obviously recharging, like you said, is very important, but there's also extra time to prepare. What are the ways to kind of balance those things as far as watching extra Seattle tape and have a follow-up? Thank you.
Hey, you want to do as much work as you can to prepare for your next opponent. And we'll have extra time to prepare for Seattle, have a chance to see them play another game. So we'll put our preparation towards Seattle and make sure we're ready to go for that one. And it's a big Monday night game for us. And hey, we're excited again about the opportunity to play on prime time. And we want our guys to be ready to roll.
And anything new on Jimmy Ward from a health standpoint and also anything with the NFL? As far as you see off the exempt list, is that pretty much a closed situation for that with the league? Have you heard anything new? Thank you.
Yeah, Jimmy is doing well with his rehab. He's progressing really well. Now he's able to focus on strictly rehabbing. So I'm happy for Jimmy and situation getting resolved. Unfortunately, it took a long time for it to happen, but you know, I'm happy that everything came out in a positive manner for Jimmy.
We have time for a few more. Randy?
Morning, D'Amico.
Morning.
I had the chance to sit down with Dylan Horton last week. He's approaching his two-year mark of overcoming his cancer diagnosis. Just want to ask you what that has meant to you and this organization. And, of course, he continues to have a role in your defense. But a story that he said the support of the organization along that battle he had was really important to him. From your perspective, can you weigh in on that a little bit?
Yeah, Dylan is such an amazing young man. Really proud of him for just the way he pushed through, you know, his diagnosis and the way he battled and fought to overcome it. It's a very inspiring moment to see such a young man handle it the way he handled it. He handled it with grace, smile, positive attitude. Every time you saw him, you didn't even think anything was wrong with him. But I think with the support from our organization, also, you know, he had tremendous support from his family. I don't know of a better kid, and just the way that he goes about his business every day, the way he's able to inspire other people who had the cancer diagnosis or are going through it. Like Dylan is a guy that you can definitely look to for encouragement. And in whatever that is. It may not be cancer, whatever adversity that someone is facing in life. I think you can handle it the way Dylan Horton has handled this. You handle it with a smile, you handle it with grace, you handle it with a positive attitude, knowing that as you continue to push through, you know, everything is going to be all right. And Dylan's definitely representative of that. And I couldn't be more proud of him. And, you know, not just a player on the field. He's been doing a good job as a player, but more proud of him just as a young man and what he stands for.
Jonathan.
Miko, did you all come out of Sunday's game relatively healthy, or are you going to have somebody dealing with something?
Yeah, we came out pretty healthy.
Cody?
With Jalen Petrie, his second year playing this position that he started playing last year for you guys, where have you seen the growth from last year to this year for him in that position, and what have you made of his start to the season for what you guys ask him to do?
Jalen's been outstanding. Outstanding start to the season. The growth piece is what we saw for the past 3 weeks, like him attacking the football, now having 3 interceptions on the year. I mean, that's the growth that I've seen. Not only everybody understands how active he is around the line of scrimmage and blitzing, but just the pass coverage piece and being able to take the football away. That's the piece of his game that's taken another step. I know he did that his rookie year. He had 5 his rookie year. To see him, you know, not have many last year, and now to come in and have 3, and there's many more to come from him. He's playing physical. He had a really, you know, big hit yesterday. He's playing physical. He's having fun on the field. Like, if you watch the tape and you just watch Jalen Petrie play the game, that's how I want everybody to play. Like, he's out there flying around, having fun, being where he's supposed to be, playing clean football, and doing it with a huge smile on his face. So he's making a ton of plays for us, and I couldn't be happier with where he is right now and what he's doing for our team.
We'll close with Kim and then Sarge.
Hey, D'Amico, when you I know you've been focused on the Texans, but when you look around the league and you see how maybe teams that were picked to, you know, go to the Super Bowl before the season started, how everybody kind of, it's a reminder that you have to play every week. Do you use that as to talk to your players about forgetting about an 0-3 start, because it's very much open for really anybody in the league? Can you just address how the league is? I don't know if that's more parity, or how do you talk about that?
Really, Kim, I really don't talk about it because, honestly, like, I don't even know who was picked to win it all and how does that factor in. Like, no one truly knows. It's all opinions, right? Who's going to win it all and what people think. Like, and that's okay for everybody to have their opinion, but no one knows how the season goes. Like, you know, a team can lose a guy here or there at any time, and that their season is shifted. Right. So it's like, and how can that team adapt? How can they overcome it? Like, you know, you could go on a good run. You could have a bat. Like, it's so many things. The season is so long. The ball bounces different ways every single week. And so there, to me, you go in each week trying to do your best to win. You don't focus on the past, what's happened in the past, the momentum everybody likes to talk about. It really doesn't matter. It's just about how are you dialed in for that week and how are you doing your best in that 3.5 hours to get the job done. That's all that matters. The opinions about who's going to win it, who's the best team, the rankings, like, none of that matters. At the end of the day, we're going to work our hardest to have a shot to get into the dance. And that's what every team around the league is doing. Like, play your best to give your team an opportunity to get in the playoffs and then see what happens from there.
Go ahead, Sarge.
Coach, I apologize if you've been asked this. I got in here a little bit late this morning, but
can't be late, dog.
I flew in on an early morning flight just to make it here. But Coach, before the game, during the week and before the game, you told your players that you want them to go out and do a couple of things. You told the defense that you wanted 3 takeaways. They went out there and they got you 3 takeaways. But you also said that, you know, you want them to play with juice. You want them to, you know, energy and excitement. Did you expect Jalen Noel to pull out that celebration as far as nostalgia is concerned? He said that he learned the celebration dance on Saturday night. I don't think he's even old enough to remember. watching Ray Lewis or seeing Ray Lewis at the side of on YouTube. But what did that that celebration dance? Were you surprised by it at all?
I was definitely surprised by it. I've been on the offensive guys a lot for the past couple of weeks about making sure they have some celebrations ready, right, for the end zone. Like, it's just a psychological thing to me. If you're thinking about celebrations, then you'll get in the end zone. So I'm happy that we're getting a little swag on the offensive side and we're getting in the end zone and we have some celebrations ready to go. But Jay Noel did surprise me with the Ray Lewis.
Thanks, Coach.
All right. Appreciate it, guys.
Thank you, Coach.
All right. Have a good one.
D'Amico Ryan's just talking to the media, doing his Monday press conference after that great victory yesterday as the Texans took it to the Ravens yesterday on the road. By the way, football talk, we also went around the NFL last segment. Football talk on Sports Radio 610 is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. We can spend more time on what we just heard from D'Amico a little bit later on, just, you know, off the top of your head, anything stand out, or what was the biggest takeaway from what you just heard from the head coach over the last 15, 20 minutes?
Yeah, I think the young guys. I think the young guys is going to be an ongoing theme here between now and, well, the rest of the season, but really certainly between now and the Seattle game. You got to get they've been doing a good job of getting these guys on the field more. We saw the production, you know, I know Xavier Hutchinson is not a young guy per se anymore, technically speaking, but Jaden Higgins, Jalen Noel, getting him on the field, Woody Marks, and the things that he was talking about there, how it's a game plan offense, and I don't doubt him. But I think part of that game plan is we've got to figure out how to get these guys more touches. I keep going back to the very first drive of the game yesterday. You had seven guys, seven different skill position players touch the ball. That was huge to me. And not only was it huge, but a lot of those guys were the rookies.
Yeah. Yeah. Right.
And Xavier Hutchinson.
And I think that was the big difference yesterday in terms of you can make all the excuses for the Ravens and all these injuries. And they have, I think, six rookies playing yesterday. Yeah, well, you know, the Texans rookies looked pretty good, too, on their side. And they're also rookies. So that was certainly a good sign for the Texans. We'll have more thoughts on what we heard from the head coach coming up throughout the rest of the show. But we do have to get to what's popping when we come back. And let me tell you, there's a baseball team right now being compared to the Houston Astros, and not for a good reason per se. We'll get to that next. It's In the Loop. That's right. What's popping? We'll let you know here on In the Loop. I'm Luke Morrow in for Reggie alongside John Lopez and Figgy Fig, and you as well. Appreciate you hanging with us. You can always text the show 713-572-4610. Get to us on YouTube and Twitch as well. What's popping? Well, we've been talking a lot about not only the Texans' big win, but the wild weekend of football. Also, Major League Baseball playoffs are still going on. And I know you guys drafted the weekend on Friday, and John, you picked a couple of these baseball games. Because I do think there's
so
some
Figgy.
Yeah, because I think there are some really good matchups here in the, I know it doesn't include the Astros, but still in this divisional series, divisional round, there's some pretty good matchups. And I think we can all take joy in not only seeing the Ravens get stomped by the Texans yesterday, but also seeing the Yankees get beat up pretty good north of the border in Toronto, getting outscored 23-8 in the first two games against Toronto, and the Blue Jays one game away from eliminating the Yankees. I mean, congratulations to Toronto with the 2-0 start, but the bigger story is the Yankees are almost out of here.
A lot of hate watching this week, and really just interesting. I mentioned this last week. When you don't feel as stressed, you know, looking at watching your squad, it's just more enjoyable to watch baseball in general.
Yeah.
You know, but postseason baseball in general. And especially when the Yankees are, or what they call it, belt to ass, Figgy?
BTA.
That's right.
The old belt to ass. Mariners, you know, tied their series, of course. I'm not quite sure how I feel about this one just yet.
Their first home playoff win in 21 years.
2001, was it? Something like
that? I think, yeah.
Since 2001.
That would sound right, yeah.
That's pretty dang incredible. Obviously, Dodgers-Phillies is game two tonight. Dodgers lead, Brewers. Brewers look like the team to beat, but the Dodgers kind of have a look. But I'm interested in what you were talking about with the Blue Jays.
Yeah, my tease. So as I said going to break, there's one team being compared to the Astros right now, and not for good reason, I would say, and that's the Blue Jays. People suddenly, after yesterday, where they put up, 13 runs on the Yankees after 10 the day prior, People are accusing the Blue Jays, saying they must be doing something at home, some sort of signal relaying, some sort of trash can banging, because the Blue Jays were a lot better at home than on the road this year, offensively and overall, and then just here in the playoffs, what they've done the last 2 days against the Yankees. It has, of course, Yankee fans, but also just baseball fans saying, like, ah, seems like we've seen this before. The Blue Jays must be up to something, because they hit like seven homers yesterday. They're just mashing right now at home.
If we're being honest, it does look quite familiar. It really does look like the Astros were just drilling fools.
Yeah.
But the Blue Jays, you know, might just be that good. I'm looking at some of the comments right now from just baseball fans and writers and such. There's no question in my mind the Jays are stealing signs. Not surprised the Blue Jays are cheating. Someone remind me what team Springer was on in 2017.
Oh, good.
Also, Blue Jays have tapped into Yankees pitch comm and okay. Know what pitches are coming. On and on and on it goes. I actually don't mind it. I kind of like it.
As not illegally.
Well, that would be illegal, but
that one would be. Yeah.
Well, that one, I mean, if they're stealing signs legally,
yeah, yeah.
What's wrong with that?
Yeah, there is nothing wrong with that. But and the fact that it's happening to the Yankees again just makes it.
Now, are these just regular fans or just Yankee fans?
Some were speculating, some baseball writers and such, but a lot of just regular fans, because they felt it before.
Yeah. I mean, it's mostly like Yankee fans, but there's baseball fans, and there are some people who cover the sport, like you said, that are also
probably
like
the old crusty,
right,
East Coast type of writers.
Yeah. I don't care because it's against the Yankees, so I couldn't care less. Like even if they were found to be cheating, like whatever. It's the Yankees. I don't care. It's probably a bad attitude to have, but if there's any team that could be on the other side, I couldn't care less.
They probably need this to happen so they can let go of Aaron Boone.
Aaron Boone, I think, will be gone.
Because if he come back and win this series and end up getting to an ALCS, he might stay another year.
And a lot of Yankees fans probably are going to be, you know, secretly rooting for that now that the series seems out of hand.
Right.
It's out of hand, right?
Yeah, they got to win the next three.
Yeah.
And, you know, they'll be at home at least the next two, and then you got to go to Toronto in game five. And they just used their ace yesterday, Max Fried. And so that was part of the reason why people were saying, like, something must be up because Fried just got battered. But this is part of the reason why the Braves didn't give Fried this huge contract. In his playoff career, he's 2-6 with a 5.5 ERA. Like, that wasn't new yesterday. There's just certain guys that are great in the regular season, and Fried's a great pitcher, but they're just not as good in the postseason, and that might be Max Fried.
That's part of the whole postseason game, though, man. Yeah. Like, your best ace could be money all season long, but once you get into the postseason, man, sometimes they turn into a punk.
And you can talk about sign stealing and all that, and really it's kind of unfair because, you know, who knows until there's anything proved.
Yeah.
But how does that make up for the Yankees' horrific defense? How does that make up for the Yankees? Well, Treya Savage was just Mike Scott. I mean, he was – I know you're young. You know, too young to remember Mike Scott, but that was like the type of untouchable stuff his third major league start, major league start in that game. If you didn't watch it, just absolutely falling off a table splitter that was 11 strikeouts
in
5 1/3 innings.
No hits,
completely untouchable. So he was filthy, but in two games, the Yankees just can't do anything.
No. They got some extra runs at the end of that game to make it look closer. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, there is one point where they were getting outscored, 23-3 or something like that.
Mm-hmm. No, it's ridiculous. And then, you know, the other thing is with the Mariners and Tigers, I still can't get a feel for what I'm looking at here, for what I'm feeling, I should say, you know, on this squad.
With the Mariners?
With the Mariners and the Tigers. Kind of pulling for A.J. Hinch. But, you know, the Mariners are a good story, even though they aren't our division rival.
I know. I have to admit, I almost find myself I don't have the same vitriol as I do with the Yankees. I'm actively rooting against the Yankees. With the Mariners, I'm like, you know, good for them. It's kind of, you know. And that's been a great series. 2 1-run games. One of the games went to extra innings over the weekend. It's been a lot of fun. It's been well-pitched, low-scoring games. I think they were both 3-2.
Yeah.
So the Mariners-Tigers, that might go the full length here in the divisional round. But that's been a fun series.
No, it's been terrific. Also, you know, as I mentioned earlier, we have college football on a Tuesday. Well, first of all, what are you thinking on the National League right now?
I just don't trust the Brewers in the playoffs. I think we've seen this far too often. And the Dodgers, even though they didn't have the season everyone was hoping for, I mean, they're still the Dodgers, and on paper are the most talented team. So I know it's lame, it's the low hanging fruit, but I don't know if someone can stop the Dodgers right now, in the NL at least.
I feel like the Dodgers have the look of a team that's going to repeat. Figgy, you and I were talking about this last week. But I'm also with the Brewers. I'm kind of feeling what the Astros were in 2017. Mm-hmm. Everyone say, look, man, yeah, that's a really talented squad. They're playing great baseball. But it's the Astros. You know, they've never won. Anything.
They're young. They're
young.
Just getting here.
They've never won. And then what did they do?
They had experience.
You at some point, you get over the hump, or a lot of teams get over the hump. And I'm wondering if the Brewers, this is that year where they just finally get over the hump.
It's totally fair. It's just that, they've won their division 4 out of the last 5 years and never even gotten to a championship series. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. I just feel like we've been here before. As I always say, it's the Polar Express theory that I have to see it to believe in it.
Yeah.
And yeah, I just can't believe in the Brewers right now, but maybe they'll prove me wrong. I do think they win the series. I just don't know if they could get past the Dodgers.
Yeah, well, we'll see on that. But as I mentioned, we'll get to some college football on a Tuesday tomorrow with more in-depth stuff on all the games that we saw. But man, we got to talk about James Franklin and Steve Sarkisian.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's a real life Spider-Man meme.
Okay, let me ask you both this. If I were to tell you that there is a college football coach that is 2-8 against top 10 teams at his school, and he's 5-18 against top 10 teams, and he played one conference team last year that finished the season ranked and lost to that team, who would you think I'd be talking about?
I would say James Franklin.
Yeah, same.
Steve Sarkisian.
Whoa, wow.
2-8 versus top 10 teams at his school. 5-18 versus top 10 teams. And lost to the conference team. The only one that he was ranked.
Mm-hmm.
It's getting wild, man. That was a tough, tough loss for him. But I think
it was.
I think James Franklin is the one. People talk about him getting fired in season, which is an impossibility to me. But it's getting bad for him.
Yeah, I don't think James Franklin has done enough to earn the right. I mean, I would have said this before this year. I don't think he's done enough to earn the right to be the head coach. They lose every big game every year. Mm-hmm. This year, people are saying it's going to be different. This is a playoff team. Now they lost back-to-back games, and Saturday was just embarrassing. The only thing holding it back, though, obviously, is in college football is these contracts. And right now, James Franklin has a $50 million buyout. So I don't think Penn State right now wants to pay $50 million just to make him go away. Maybe I'm wrong, but that was embarrassing Saturday. They were up, 20 at halftime? Maybe it was even more. They were 27-point favorites. UCLA had not led in a game all year this season. They had an interim coach, first-time offensive coordinator, and they come back and embarrass Penn State in that second half. I mean, that is a fireable offense. I just don't know if they want
to. I think he could go at the end of the year if it continues to mushroom because, I mean, I said it, and that's one thing, for me to say that was preseason. By the way, the number one team and the number two team in the first AP poll are both out of the poll right now, Texas and Penn State. It's one thing for me to say before the season, that is a really talented squad. Talented, experienced quarterback. But James Franklin said it.
Obviously, that question at this moment, I mean, how am I supposed to answer that? When we lose the last two games, then obviously, that's all that matters. We didn't win the last two games. But, obviously, I felt that way or I wouldn't have said it. But after two losses, it's hard for me to answer that question and say that that's the case.
I mean, Jimbo Fisher got bought out $70 million at the end of a year.
It's true.
Big money talks, man.
I think the seat is hot. And I always say this about specifically college football coaches always seem to do it. Stop setting the bar so high in the offseason. Mm-hmm. Dabo does it all the time at Clemson of this is the greatest team I've ever coached. And then they go 2-2. You're just setting yourself up for failure where if you're James Franklin, you have to answer questions like that.
Yeah.
There's no need to talk about how great the team is or historically or compared to other teams or we're the best team in the country. Don't put these expectations on yourself that you then force yourself to live up to.
Yeah.
By the way, last thing just to mention, the Rockets open up preseason tonight. They're at home against the Hawks, 7 p.m. Central Time tip here in Houston. So it's here. I know we're all in the middle of football season, but basketball begins in about 2 weeks, and the preseason for the Rockets begin tonight. So that's exciting to check it out. Maybe you're even going to the game But that's what's popping here on this Monday as the Texans get a huge win. We'll talk about that great win for the Texans yesterday and circle back to some thoughts from D'Amico Ryan's press conference that we played earlier this hour. And we'll do that next in the Loop.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.